Experience action. Let's stop just talking about customer experience, employee experience, and the experience of leaders. Let's turn ideas into action. Your host, Jeannie Walters, is an award-winning customer experience expert, international keynote speaker, and founder of Experience Investigators, a strategic consulting firm helping companies increase sales and customer retention through elevated customer experiences. Ready, set, action.
Hello, everyone. It is another episode of Experience Action with me, Jeannie Walters. But this is the special monthly episode all about what's happening in the real world around customer experience. This is CX Pulse Check, and we're so glad that you're here. Now, I have a special guest joining me, as always. So my special co-host is Greg Kilstrom from the Agile brand. Greg, how are you?
Great. Yeah, glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
All right. So, Greg, I would love for you to share a little bit about you and your company, the Agile brand.
Yeah, absolutely. So I come from a marketing and a technology background. And after selling a digital agency I ran a few years back, I work as an advisor and consultant. I help Fortune 500s make better MarTech investment decisions. And then I work with them to help operationalize those decisions. In addition to that, I have a couple podcasts, one of them called The Agile Brand, where I talk with marketing leaders and platform leaders. And I've written a few books on MarTech and other topics as well. So really, really excited to be here.
Well, we're thrilled you're here with us. You and I met at a conference and realized that we had a lot to chat about. So I'm very pleased to go over these kind of news items with you. So one of the things that I think is so interesting too about bringing in your perspective is, you know, a lot of the work that I do and a lot of the conversations is about kind of customer experience strategy. And one of the things that I see again and again is how really the technology, the tools can actually sometimes be the right course. It can actually push that strategy forward. And sometimes it can be kind of a barrier. So I'm interested to get your perspective on all of these things. So one of the things I would love to talk with you about is kind of that blending of digital and in-person and how we have to really meet customers where they are. And that's what stood out to me about this headline. And this is about Santander Bank. And the headline is Santander evolves in-person bank format in Hoboken, in New Jersey, with new experience to meet customer needs. And when I kind of went into this article, I was expecting to hear more about kind of how they were maybe introducing more kiosks and things like that. But really, this is about kind of the education of customers in person so that they can use more of the digital experiences. So I shared this with you. What did you think?
Yeah, I mean, my first reaction was I was reminded of a few years back, either me or my brother-in-law would drive up to my parents' house and look over my dad's shoulder as he was navigating how to use his computer and things like that. And so, you know, that said, I get it from their perspective of, you know, there's got to be a way to educate their customers. I mean, I look at it as, okay, they do this once and then that customer doesn't have to come back in the branch anymore. And so it's a win for everyone, because some people, I think, have a hard time asking a question. I can't imagine some people asking a question over the phone about what they're looking at on their screen. There are technologies that let you share a screen, of course, but if that's not available. So, you know, it's like the train the trainer kind of thing of like, if we can educate our customers a little better, then maybe they can even educate other customers or something. So I get it. It does beg the question, why are there technologies so hard to use for, you know, for a consumer bank in the first place? So, you know, the cynical part of me kind of goes there as well, but I get it.
Yeah. I kind of grappled with this a little bit because I really believe we need to give customers choice over how do they interact? How do they, you know, what channels do they prefer? And if they start in one channel and want to switch, we have to kind of honor that. And I'm curious about what they saw to make them think like, oh, it's probably that we just need to educate more and do it in person. because in an ideal world, I would say I would love to see more hybrid options where if I walk into a bank, I have a choice where maybe I just want to get some answers and do it through some digital channels, or I really need to talk to somebody to help me. And so I like that idea. The idea that people might, you know, come to the bank for the purpose of digital education, I'm not sure about that yet. I think we're going to have to watch this and see if this model really does serve what they need. But I think the point you just made is the one that I kind of walked away with too. Like, should we be investing more in kind of overall digital education in the moment with customers? Can we provide more guidance to these tools? Can we help them make better decisions when they're opting in to those digital choices? And are we respecting the customer change in behavior, or are we trying to force change in behavior? And I think those are bigger questions that I don't think we have the answers. I don't think they have the answers yet. So I'll be curious how successful this model is and kind of how it rolls out to other organizations as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
So yeah, customer education is always tricky because one of the things that I've talked about is how, especially in B2B, that is one of my like triggers when I hear clients say, well, we just have to educate customers. That's all. Right. It's like, we have to educate them on how to use our services and products. Like, that should be a red flag that something's not going well for the customer.
Yeah, I completely agree. And yeah, to your earlier point, when I read that headline, I think I had a similar reaction of like, oh, okay, they're doing like, you know, like the quick service restaurants, or you can order, but you still physically, you know, the food isn't virtual. So you still have to physically pick it up, but they're making the process a little easier and probably finding a way to upsell and cross sell a little bit easier along the way. But I could see plenty of opportunities to do something like that, of like, yeah, there are processes that take a long time, have a lot of questions. You could accelerate the teller experience to like just the very last stage of either like literally handing someone dollars or something like that by using a kiosk. But yeah, it does seem a little odd that, again, it begs the question, like, why is your app so hard to use?
right. So yeah, I think we'll see more of this moving forward, but then we'll also see kind of where it starts and stops as well. Because I mean, if you compare it to what's happening with self-checkout, a lot of those organizations are starting to remove self-checkout, either completely or limiting it, because they're finding that it was not really speeding things up in the way that they expected, and it was creating cause for theft and other things. Yeah. So another interesting pilot that we'll follow along here. Now, this next topic, you actually were very involved with, because you actually attended Shop Talk, which is a big, huge event. So before we dive into this, can you share a little bit about what Shop Talk is and your observations there?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, just got back actually a day or two ago from Shop Talk in Las Vegas. One of the bigger retail shows out there. Lots of great content, as well as their claim to fame is kind of the, you do like the speed dating thing where you get matched up and have quick meetings and stuff like that. So, you know, did a few of those, did some book signings, some interviews, all that while I was there, and great opportunity to just meet or reconnect with folks, and definitely a lot of conversations. You know, there's some e-commerce focused shows as well, but Shop Talk is really for everybody. You know, it's you know, online and brick and mortar as well. So definitely some interesting things happening.
Well, and I was following along. I did not attend Shop Talk, but I was kind of following along with the different insights. And this is from CoreSite Research, and they produced some summaries of each day. And what stood out to me about their summary for day four was this idea that, you know, we are moving into more of a interactive kind of video world. And the folks that were talking about this weren't necessarily the brands that I expected to be talking about this. And specifically, I'm going to get this right, so I have the article here, but executives from Fanatics, TikTok, and Walmart discussed shoppable video and emphasizing its importance for engaging customers, fostering loyalty, and encouraging future purchases rather than immediate transactions. And I think, you know, comparing like you know, Fanatics, which is sportswear basically, or all the brands for, or all the teams, and then TikTok, which is very different, and then Walmart, which sells, you know, all the things that Walmart sells. The fact that they're all having conversations about this, and the comment about it encourages future purchases rather than immediate transactions, really caught my attention, because I think the thinking up until this point is, you know, if you're providing that shoppable video, it's for that, you know, moment. Yeah. And so I thought that was very interesting. So I'm just curious, like, what are you seeing there? Any feedback on that?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think the, you know, the ability to make video, you know, just gets easier and easier. So, you know, I think this, to me, this is along the trends of just more and more brands. And, you know, it sounds like even TikTok, you know, embracing this idea of customer lifetime value as opposed to, you know, transactional. And, you know, I think there's varying stats depending on where you look as far as, you know, how much impact social has on immediate purchases. But I think, you know, it also may be a smart play for a social media platform to be on board with a longer term sales cycle. Reading between the lines there, you know, I think there's some benefits for them to encourage that kind of thinking as well. But that said, you know, it's I think that longer loyalty, lifetime value, all of that kind of stuff, it's just, I think we've been talking about it for years. It's like all these, it's like personalization, yeah. It's like AI, mobile, whatever. We've been talking about it for years, but I think brands are really embracing it more. Mm-hmm. And I think attribution is getting better. And so it's starting to, I think the stars are just kind of aligning that stuff like that. It's not just, again, self-serving or something like that. It's actually starting to make sense and make business sense.
Yeah. And I think the other thing that keeps coming up is that like convergence between personalized experiences and authentic branding. Yeah. And how if you can tell a story that really appeals to your customer in a personalized way, that will, number one, kind of break through all the noise, right? Like we have so much to, we have to jump up and down, you know, and stand on our head to get attention in this world right now. And so I think one of the things that I think is interesting is like thinking about how can you as a brand really show up authentically, but also leverage your customer stories. Like your customers are the best storytellers when they talk about how they use your products or what have you. So that's something that I think is interesting. And then really like one of the things that I pulled from this, and it was just a little blurb, but is thinking about things like how do we integrate live streaming and how do we make sure that we are kind of keeping pace with what customer expectations are, even if that's not what you're traditionally known for. And so really like working with customers, collaborating, and not just influencers, I think is important too, because I think people are starting to really recognize when things get a little blurry. Yeah. Yeah. Being authentic is so, so important. So I just think there's a lot of potential here. I think that brands that maybe have never thought about how to really incorporate that whole idea of almost like two-way video, how that can really impact the relationship. I personally see a lot of opportunity here for B2B. I think that one of the things that would be really interesting is sharing more about like, here's how we do what we do, and here's like your product, you know, like here's something that could really help your product, or here's, and I think that B2B is more hesitant about this stuff, but I see a lot of potential there too.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it, you know, it comes down to emotional engagement, right? And I think, mm-hmm. you know, I think we're moving on from the big Super Bowl ads being, you know, the main way to do brand advertising even. Right. And I think what you're touching on here is like, this is maybe just, again, I've been doing this long enough to see, you know, trends come and go and whatever. It's like, this is maybe just how brand advertising is going to look for a few years. Mm-hmm. And it's more personal, it's more contextual, it's all, you know, all of the above. And yet it has that emotional engagement when it is personal, you know, when mm-hmm. it is personalized. So it may just be a, an old thing made new again in a different context.
That never happens, Greg.
Right. I know.
Yeah. It is funny to see the same themes kind of pop up in different iterations, and everybody, you know, throws up their hands and says, oh my gosh, we've never been here before, but we probably have.
Well, so, as marketers, they like to come up with new names for things and labels, but it's, you know, it's those of us that have been doing this, you know,
yeah,
it's a different label for the same thing.
Absolutely. So this next one I'm very excited about because this is part of a trend that we're seeing where government and municipalities and different folks are starting to think about their role in providing customer experience for citizens, for residents, for taxpayers, essentially. And so on this podcast in the past, we've talked about the executive order that President Biden put into place around customer experience for agencies and the work they're doing. And now New York State has a chief customer experience officer. This was a governor appointed position. And this is from State Scoop. The title is Meet New York's Chief Customer Experience Officer. Her name is Tanya Webster. And she's really looking at kind of not just how do we serve people better, but how do we break down some of the bureaucracy and the red tape so that when you're moving from one area to the next as a citizen, it's not so cumbersome. And you think about a state like New York that's been around for a long, long time. They have developed different kind of departments, different, you know, agencies, things like that, based on kind of when the needs pop up. And this is very, very typical. And in this case, that was one of the things that stood out to me about kind of her approach here. Now, one of the things that I think is, you know, really, really important to mention too, is that the expectations are so high in these positions that I think it's so brave, really, to raise your hand and say, yes, I will do this. Because think about the untangling of all the different processes, of all the different expectations, and how you know that's not something that can happen overnight. But she's taking this on kind of like a mission. And I just appreciated her kind of approach and attitude about it. So go, Tanya. So what are your thoughts here?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I love the idea. And, you know, I think the timing is right for this kind of thing, because, I mean, you know, I don't have the exact stats, but, you know, trust in government is not exactly at an all-time high. Yes. You know, there's a lot, and there's just legacy frustration. Mm-hmm. I mean, the DMV has been a running joke for, you know, decades, mm-hmm. probably since its inception. But so, you know, like there's definitely room to move. And, you know, on the one hand, I completely agree with you. I think the expectations are probably completely unreasonable on poor, you know, on her, yeah, to, you know, to change things. But at the same time, the bar is also very low for improvement in some ways. So, mm-hmm. you know, maybe hopefully the two kind of balance each other out. And also, you know, from I think reorganizing government and, you know, the bureaucracy behind the scenes, I think those of us that, you know, I know, you know, we both work with very large organizations, maybe not quite as big as, and you know, legacy
state of New York.
But, you know, it might feel that way some days, but, but, you know, I think there's a lot that can probably be done in the short term to make mm-hmm. it feel better to the end customer. I would hope as well that, you know, there's focus on the employees to, you know, give them, I mean, I think we could stand to have less disgruntled, to go back to the DMV, disgruntled DMV workers once in a while. But, you know, I think there's tons of room for, you know, mm-hmm. for improve. I think the time is right because, I am more than happy for my tax dollars to go towards improving my own experience that technically I'm paying for already, you know, so it's like maybe not everybody outside of the CX space or whatever is on board with that, but I think this is mm-hmm. a positive, but again, you know, proof's in the pudding, so we'll have to see, you know, we'll have to see how it works.
Yeah, one of the things I say sometimes when I'm explaining customer experience is, you know, your customers are having an experience whether you talk about it or not, whether you're intentional or not. And we have customer experiences because we're trying to do something as a person. we don't love being customers. Like a lot of the brands, I think, paint this picture of a very linear journey. And they're like, well, then they're going to feel this and they're going to move through. They're just trying to get stuff done, right? And so you can have a customer experience when you go to a Taylor Swift concert, and you can also have a customer experience when you're paying a parking ticket.
Right.
And if we can make paying the parking ticket a little less effort, a little more convenient, a little more of reassuring too, like a lot of the frustration with bureaucracy and government and these big organizations is you do something and you're kind of like, did it work? And who do I call about this or whatever? So what I liked about some of her early initiatives that they talked about here, she is prioritizing digital and service improvements, really leveraging technology available. And that's something that I think is weirdly exciting for this sector, because they're not really always known for that. And so I think she sees the opportunity of, if we could give people more digital choice that's easier, they're going to take advantage of that. That will lessen the burden on the, you know, facilities, the people, all of that. Yeah. So then the in-person experience will also get better because there will be less pressure on that. And I also really interpreted kind of a, she wants to shift culture. She wants to make sure that there are really ways that we value and prioritize customer experience, giving people opportunities to submit ideas for, hey, this could be better if we could just do this. So I think there's just a lot of goodness in attempting this. I want to give a shout out to my friend Stephanie Toom, who is a customer experience expert, and she has done academic papers about red tape and how that gets in the way of customer experience. And it's fascinating to really think about, how did we get here? And it's all about, they saw a need and they wanted to fix the need, but it was without the perspective of what's actually happening with the customer. And it was without the perspective that it's a holistic experience. And so now, getting closer to that, I think people will start feeling that and seeing that in really good ways.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, to your point, it's like, there's most that have dealt with, you know, companies are familiar with the term technical debt, as far as, you know, you build these legacy systems and then, you know, mm-hmm. changes, to your point, changes keep getting tacked on. And so, you know, we have code that is unneeded. You know, there's experience debt, right? It's like, mm-hmm. we keep making these changes and keep making people jump through hurdles, and there's culture debt because the employees doing that work now have to, you know, so it's like all of these things can converge in a good way, mm-hmm. if we look at them, I think, through from the eyes of the customer. And, you know, sometimes it's the end customer, sometimes it's internal customer, but I think this is very promising. You know, I live in Virginia. I wish Virginia would do the same thing. maybe they are, great. Mm-hmm. I think it's exciting.
I think so too. And I think that there will be, you know, best practices and lessons that hopefully they can all share. And make this kind of it will evolve faster, right? Like, we're in the very beginning of this. I can picture this in a few years really kind of snowballing throughout, hopefully our whole country, but even just to a few other states like Virginia and Illinois. I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah. Just start there, you know?
Yeah, exactly. We'll help. All right. Well, this was so fun, Greg. Thank you for joining us for this CX Pulse Check episode. And I know that you have a great podcast. So another shout out, listen to the Agile Brand. If people want to reach out or find out more about you, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah. So two things, find me on LinkedIn, very active there. So connect, would love to chat, and you can go to theagilebrand.com and find my podcast and books and things like that.
Excellent. Well, thank you for being here, and I can't wait to bump into you again at a future conference.
Absolutely. Yeah, great. Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. And thank you, everyone, for being here. And thank you for listening and supporting the Experience Action podcast with me, Jeannie Walters. If you haven't already, please subscribe, and we love reviews. Now, I also want to give a special invitation to all of you. We're having a special webinar coming up all about the value of customer experience. If you're curious about that, check out our website at experienceinvestigators.com. Looking forward to your questions. So don't forget, you can leave me a voicemail at askgenie.vip. I answer one question a week on this podcast straight from listeners like you. So please go ahead and don't forget to ask me all the questions that you have about customer experience. Thanks so much for being here, and I will see you next week.